Hi, and welcome to this week's edition of the Ocean View Podcast. No matter where you're at in our country or around the world, we thank you so much for taking the time to listen. Now sit back and enjoy this week's message. Well, we're excited today as we kind of start a brand new message series entitled This Is Us. And let me kind of share a little bit where we're going if you're brand new today. Today's a very different day. Obviously, with what's going on currently right now on the southwest coast of Florida, there are many individuals in this room, on the first service, that have a lot of friends and family members that are being affected right now by the storm. Not to mention the chaos and destruction it has caused in islands like Barbuda, like Cuba, the Turks and Caicos, the Bahamas, the Keys currently right now. And if you're like me, our hearts are broken for what is happening. And it's a hard thing when you go through a week like we have. Because if I'm totally honest in this room, with many of us who live, if you're here from Myrtle Beach, you watched on Wednesday as the track had it coming up toward us. And you began to panic, and you began right away to be able to look at supplies and began to just say, oh my goodness, what's going to happen? And then as the track shifted, there was a confliction. It's like, oh, yes. And then you look at Florida and you're like, oh, no. And you just, it's hard. It's difficult feelings. And on Saturday morning as I awoke, we had all prepared for this series to start. And God really impressed about my heart and said, Terry, you can't do that. You really need to talk specifically about some of the things that we're thinking about and what I have to say about some of those things. I know right now currently there's a lot of individuals, if they still have power in South Florida, that are tuning in right now, and we just want you to know we're praying with you. And again, prayer is not a compartmentalized thing. In fact, biblically, we're called to pray while we're on the road. Pray in our daily conversations. Pray while you're sitting there and as you're listening. Prayer is not compartmentalized to one moment of time, but it's a constant state of prayer. And so we want you to know that even while I'm preaching today, my heart is praying specifically for you. And so if you have power and you're tuned in, know that we are really right there with you. And again, we're just praying for you. As we begin today, God really impressed and really gave a message today, and I thought that it would tie really well in with what's going on. And so if you were here in 1989 here in Myrtle Beach, you met a friend named Hugo, and he wasn't that much of a friend. And you remember those days, you remember the days to come, you remember evacuating, you remember trying to get back in, you remember the panic and wondering if you still had a home. And all that went through. In 1992, it was very similar for me because I lived in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and another friend by the name of Andrew, first Category 5 storm that caused at that time the most destruction ever. And I remember the day leading up to it, and I remember, like us on Wednesday, thinking through and saying, oh my goodness, you know, I've never, you know, really had to think and process. We have to look at things differently. We have to, you know, where are the insurance cards? What, you know, what happens if we don't have anything left? You know, do we have a safe? Is it protected? What do we do with the backyard? And all these things that normal life has nothing to do with begins to take over. And many of you, let's be honest, on Wednesday, you started going through your checklist. You started looking differently, feeling differently, and you started thinking about, am I prepared for this storm? Now, some of you might have said, and let's be honest, some of you uber-eager type A personalities, you were like, oh, I'm good. I've got my emergency plan. It's posted on the refrigerator. We're good to go. A majority of us in this room, we were running like chickens with our head cut off. We just had no idea what we were doing, and we were trying to figure it out. And so as we dive into the message today, I figured we would tie that into some preparations. Because I believe spiritually, if you're visiting or if you're not a Christian and you're here today, there are some things that we need to do spiritually on a consistent basis. We can't wait for disaster to strike. We have to be prepared before the moment comes. If on Wednesday evening you went to Home Depot and tried to find a piece of plywood for your home, you're out of luck. Any day of the week, you can go to Home Depot and get any plywood. But when a storm comes, it makes things different, doesn't it? And so, again, the notes in your worship guide today won't do you any good. We're just going to take our time here on the TV screen, and we're going to walk through a few passages of Scripture biblically. I don't normally do this and jump around, but today I'll try and explain exactly where we're at, but in preparation for the storm. So we begin in the book of John, and John is in the New Testament, and this is actually Jesus Christ saying he is the Lord and Savior, and he is saying something to us, and it's going to anchor our message for today, and I want you to hear the words that he says. He says this, I am the true grapevine. My Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit. And he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so that they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I've given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. On the day in 1992, right before Andrew, it was a beautiful day. The sun was out. It was kind of eerie. There wasn't a lot of individuals around. And I remember going in my backyard. I remember my dad looking at me and saying, son, you need to go and you need to take a look. And here's what we need to do. You need to look at every tree that is around the house. And if there are any dead branches, you need to go ahead and you need to prune them. You need to make sure that you take care of them. I just woke you up. See, you were sleeping. Every time that, you know, we don't fool around here in this church. If I see your head nod, I'm going to take this out. Just teasing. But here's the truth. I went around and I started all of a sudden pruning a lot of the dead branches. But then he said this, which I thought was interesting. He said, Terry, he says, okay, now, and again, I was a teenager at the time, and I'm like, oh, okay, I'm tired. Dad, you need to start pruning things more. I mean, come on. And all of a sudden he said, okay, now you need to go through and you need to look at every tree that we have and every bush. And if it is full, if it is lush, if it is heavy with vegetation, you need to trim it back. Now, truth is we all do a little bit of trimming from time to time. But I want you to focus, because this is what Jesus is really talking to us. He said, Terry, trim back anything that's dead. That's first and foremost. And what I would tell you in our spiritual lives, whether you're watching online right now or whether you're here on the floor, what is dead in your life? If you're not a Christian, here's what I mean. There are things that we participate, that we think on, that we do in our lives that do not bring life. In other words, they do not accelerate us forward. That doesn't move us in a positive direction. Instead, it might feel good. It might taste good. It might be the most amazing thing, but it leads ultimately to a worse life. It leads to death. And so the first thing Jesus says is, look, you need to trim everything and prune everything that's dead in your life, much like a hurricane. And so here's my question for you today, and this might be your message for today. What sin, what repetitive sin, what sin do you struggle with? What do you find yourself consistently doing that you know is wrong? What is that death sin that continues to plague you? And today, talking about hurricanes, what Christ is meaning in your life is to say, it's time to stop fooling around. It's time to prune that area in your life because it'll only lead to death. But there's a second thing. Jesus says, remain in me. Remain in me, remain in me. And in a hurricane, you trim back and you prune even the good branches. You prune even the heavy vegetation. You lighten it up because if the wind hits and the rain hits and the hurricane hits a full tree, it'll knock the tree over. And so you have to do some pruning in order for it to survive the storm. And so what does that mean for you and I? As we talk about pruning, it's very simple. Have you evaluated on a consistent basis your spiritual life? Where are you at today? When was the last time you asked yourself, where am I in my relationship with God? Am I out of 1 to 10? Where am I at my relationship? Am I a 4? Am I a 3? Am I a 6? Am I a 7? Where am I currently at in my relationship with God? And then what Jesus wants all of us to do is every single week not stay the same. Terry, what do you have to prune? What is good for you, but you know what? It is leading you in the wrong direction. In other words, it is consuming your time. And so it might be good for you, but it is consuming your time and taking you away from what's most important. You need to get rid of that because when a storm comes and disaster strikes, if you're running around and doing all amazing things, but your spiritual life, you're not remaining in me, you're not connected in me, then disaster can strike and it can be awful. At my house, my dad said, Terry, you need to do this because if not, those trees will come down. And if those trees come down, it'll cause destruction. And today, as we look at Hurricane Irma in our lives, it's a message for us. What are the things that can come crashing down on us if we don't evaluate and we don't prune on a consistent basis? He will remain in us. And there's another thing that we used to do, and I think it's kind of funny. Everybody see this? Duct tape, it's a wonderful thing. And I remember laughing because in Florida, early on, and maybe here in Hugo, when you guys were here, and what would happen is that many individuals would take this duct tape and they would go to their windows. And if you grew up on the coast, you remember things called jalousy windows, crank windows, where you'd crank them open and they're like this. And you hated them because the mechanisms would always deteriorate and you'd always have one that would stick open. And so then a hurricane's coming and you got one crank that's not working and you got an open exposure to your house. So what they used to do in Florida, I don't know if about here, but we used to take this duct tape and they used to put the duct tape over the glass and they used to tape it down. Yeah, like with 150 mile an hour winds, that'll do any good. And they would sit and they would duct tape. And I remember I was young, and so I remember saying to my dad, I was saying, you know, Dad, and be honest, my dad knew that this was not going to work. But I said, Dad, everybody else is putting duct tape over their windows. They're putting duct tape over their windows. And yet my dad says, you know, son, that is not going to secure their windows, and it's not going to keep their windows from breaking. And I remember thinking, well, then why are they doing it? And it's for one purpose only, is when a tree branch or when something hits and when the glass gives way, it's so that the glass doesn't spread and cause more damage inside and become shrapnel. Now, one note before I explain where I'm going with here, I did find it funny that if you see someone putting duct tape on their windows and then putting plywood over their windows, you might want to save them a whole lot of time. That really is not going to work much. But there's a letter to the Romans, and in this letter, it's going to allude to a little bit of why we need a little bit of duct tape in our lives. Take a look at this. When Adam, talking about Adam and Eve, sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone, for everybody sinned. Pause. Adam and Eve, they're in paradise. There's no sin. Eve, all the men know in the audience, she blew it and it was all her fault. Just teasing. Adam and Eve are standing right there, and guys, I hate to say it, Eve was there and Adam was right there. And so they both sinned. And sin entered the world. And because sin entered the world, I don't want you to miss this. It says that sin spread. Sin spread. Let me continue on and finish and I'll explain. People sinned even before the law was given, but it was not counted as sin because there was not yet any law to break. Let me explain this point. Dads, your sin spreads. Moms, your sinful actions spread. Grandparents, your sin spreads. And it affects more individuals than you ever realize. In a hurricane, you put duct tape on your windows to protect your loved ones. You put it there so that way when the glass breaks, it doesn't harm your child, your spouse, or your family. Here's the truth. If you don't have duct tape in your life, in other words, if you don't realize that when I sin, when I actively do the wrong thing, it is going to spread and it is going to affect the loved ones that I will do anything for. I will die for them. And so here's the challenge in the room. If you're one of those manly men who love to say, I would jump in a moving car in front of for my kids, for my spouse, maybe for my in-law, I'm not sure, but yes, I think I will. If that's you, then why in your life will you ignore sin and allow it to permeate and to affect the ones that you love the most? I can tell you why. And again, I'm not perfect, and there are times that I sin and it affects my family. And I will tell you this. What the enemy would love to do is he would love for us to think that it doesn't have the kind of effect that we fear. But I promise you, sin spreads farther than you can realize and can have devastating effects on your family, on your coworkers, on your friends. And I'm talking in the negative. Imagine the positive. If you're a Christian in this room, I just want you to think. If you actively, with duct tape, try in your life not to spread sin, you try to do the right things, imagine what will spread. Imagine if you display kindness and love and sacrifice for your family. Imagine the other people, your neighbors, your coworkers, your friends that will look at your example and say, that's how I want to live my life. But if you actively sin, your friends, your coworkers, you know what they're going to do? Oh, well, at least, you know what? He does the same thing I do, so I guess we're okay. Sin spreads. many of you in this room, your word today as you prepare for a hurricane in your life might be to have duct tape in your life. What are the sins you have to say, gotta stop it? I gotta stop it. Continuing on, this passage is from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 and 13. The church of Corinth was a church that struggled with sexual immorality. They struggled with individuals who thought they knew better than God himself. And so you have all these individuals who have their own opinions, and this letter was written, and here's one of the challenges. It says this: if you think you're standing strong, be careful not to fall. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. Pause, and I'm going to come back to it. If you think that you're standing strong, be careful. If you think you're standing strong, be careful. I'm holding this plywood up because there are many individuals that would put, again, after duct tape, hopefully they don't duct tape it and then put plywood on top. But plywood goes on top of the windows. Why? It obviously keeps the outside elements from affecting your home. If you're able to put plywood onto your home, it protects the wind or the windows from crashing in, and then you feel as if you are protected. But did you know that there are dangers that lurk inside your home during a hurricane? And by the way, this is not opinion. I actually looked this up on the National Hurricane Center. So I'm going to debunk a lot of myths in this room because there are a lot of individuals who have great expert opinions, but sometimes our knowledge lacks, and I'm one of them. So I looked it up on National Hurricane Center. Part of the reason why you want to keep the elements out of your house is something called pressure. In a hurricane, there is a ton of pressure that builds on the outside of your house, and it will push against your house, it'll push against your windows, so you put plywood on it so that way things won't break your windows, or the pressure will not push your windows ultimately to a place where it pushes them in, and then all the pressure is gone within your house, and ultimately you lose your home. But there's also pressure that is from within. Did you know there are some individuals that think, you know what, I've heard that if you leave a window cracked open, or if you leave a door open, that that helps in the hurricane. That is a myth. You are not supposed to leave a door or a window open during a hurricane, because what that does is it allows the pressure from the outside to come within, and the pressure builds within your home and then your roof. You get pressure from up inside your home and pushes your roof up. You get pressure from the outside pushing your roof, and guess what happens to your roof? So instead, you're supposed to keep everything enclosed so that way you don't have the pressure from inside that builds up and could push your roof off. Here's another thing that's interesting too in a hurricane. And if you're watching online and you're about to get hit, you need to do this. Inside the home, you are to close all of your interior doors so you can compartmentalize the pressure that's within your home so that it doesn't have the opportunity to build up either and put pressure on the inside of your roof. Here's my point. There are many individuals that will put plywood on the outside of their home and they say, well, we've done everything we could do. When the truth is, there are two or three other things that you can do to be able to help to save your home. There are many individuals who think, well, if the plywood goes and the windows goes, we're done. The truth is there's a lot you can do to protect yourself. What do I mean by this? It's very simple. In our Christian life, there are a lot of individuals who will do this. And keep the scripture up here, guys. I want to go through this one by one. If you think you're standing strong, be careful not to fall. The temptation in your life are no different from what others experience. There are many of us that when temptations hit, here's what we do. We sit there and we think, you know what, no one understands what I'm dealing with. No one understands the temptations. No one understands. And so I can sin. I can fall to temptation. I can do what I want to do because no one really gets me and no one understands me. And right off the bat in this letter to the Church of Corinth, it says, hey, you think you're the only one who struggles with this? Think again. Because there are everyone around you. There are a lot of other individuals who struggle with the same thing. And so this message is for you. You need to stand strong. But I love this because it says, and God is faithful. The wind and the rain and the trees and everything's going to come crashing against your life and your home. But the thing that you need to remember while you're in your home is God is faithful. If you have a relationship with Christ, if you understand, you know what, I have the peace of God within me, then it says he is faithful and he will not allow temptation to be more than you can stand. When you're tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. It's like the house. If you close the interior doors, if you do everything on the inside and the outside, you can endure. There are many of you that do a lot of things on the outside to protect yourself. But if we were honest in this room, in your heart of hearts, if I were to ask you, where are you at in your relationship with God? Where are you at? Are you doing the things? Are you pruning on a consistent basis? Are you doing the things to grow in your relationship with God? Many of you would say, well, I'm kinda. That's like leaving the interior doors of your house open, leaving the back door open during a hurricane, and then you lose the infrastructure of your life, and then all of a sudden disaster has struck. And what God says is this: if you remain in me, if you have that strong relationship, I am faithful, and yes, no temptation will overcome you. Now, some of Christians misunderstand this. They think, hey, I got a relationship with God, which means that I can overcome any temptation in the midst of it. No, that's a lie. Because it says he is faithful. It means if you have a relationship with God and are tending to it in the midst of a hurricane in your life, when temptation is screaming at you, if you stay strong in your relationship with God, there is no temptation that will overcome you. That's the truth. If you are weak in your relationship with God, if you're doing whatever you want, if you're saying, God, I'm taking a hiatus, I'm doing what I want to do, and I'm opening myself up to whatever I want to do, guess what? You will fall. Very simple. It's like leaving the back door open and leaving the interior open. And so you've got to make sure that you keep your foundation, you keep it strong, because then he is faithful. I close with this last passage of Scripture, and we're going to sing a little bit here today. We're going to have a little bit of a prayer time for our friends along the Caribbean and the Southeast. This is one of my favorite psalms. If you are struggling today, if you're struggling with fear, if you're watching online and you're in your house and you're struggling with fear, I want you to pay really close attention to this psalm, because it really reminds us in times of trial, in times of hardship, where our hope and our focus should lie. Take a look at this. Psalm 57, 1 through 3. Have mercy on me, O God, have mercy. I look to you for protection. I will hide beneath the shadow of your wings until the danger passes by. I cry out to God Most High, to God who will fulfill his purpose for me. He will send help from heaven to rescue me, disgracing those who hound me. My God will send forth his unfailing love and his faithfulness. There are times in a Christian life, and if you're not a Christian, there are times in your life where hopelessness can set in. There are times when you could be overwhelmed. There are times right now, watching online, that you are so overwhelmed with anxiety and fear that you're not sure if you're going to make it. And I love that psalm because of a couple things. Number one, it says, it's honest. God, I need your protection. And then it says, I will hide under the shelter of your wing. There are many of us in this room that on Wednesday we began to panic. I'll be honest, I did. I went to my house and I was hoping that I could attach, without destroying my home, plywood on my windows. And I soon realized that it would be almost impossible. I remember for a moment sitting and looking at my home going, if this thing hits, the house is gone. And then you start going down rabbit trails and you start going down of, okay, what's going to happen? Then I started thinking about the church and the church building. And then I started getting overwhelmed. And then I literally had a moment where I said, wait a second, hold on a second, wait a second. I'm not in control. God is. And all the fear, all the anxiety, in a moment washed away. Because I said, at the end of the day, it's a thing. At the end of the day, it can be rebuilt. At the end of the day, it can be replaced. At the end of the day, my life, my spouse, my kids, that's what matters most. Let me illustrate this. Many of you, in the past or even this week, you ran, and as soon as they opened up a pallet of water, like a monkey on a cupcake, you went after it. But if I were to ask some of you, why are you getting the water? I'd probably come out with about 10 different answers of why you want the water. I've heard answers like, and I've been through this, you know what? You need to be able to flush the toilets during a hurricane. If the water goes out, you got to be able to flush the toilets. I've heard some that say, you know what, water goes out, you know, you need baths. I've heard some that say we need it to drink. I've heard all kinds of things. Do you know why you get water for a hurricane? It's for one reason. Life. Water really is the last worst case scenario. If you need water during a hurricane, that means almost everything has been destroyed. Because there are many of us that have been through a lot of hurricanes, and we go back to our garage and we see a lot of water that is sitting there and we got to get rid of it. Because the truth is that if you have ways to be able to boil, you can boil. If you have a barbecue grill, you can boil. If you have a way to get water, you can do a lot of things and you could survive. What this is for is when there are no other options and you have to live. That's why you get water. Here's my point. Sometimes in our lives, we are reminded during a pruning process of what's most important. And that's your life. I make this statement all the time. Nothing is more important than your relationship with God. And I'll say it again. Nothing is more important than your relationship with God. Not you. And again, many of you say, no, my kids aren't. No. Fathers, nothing is more important than your relationship with God, because how you have a relationship with God will affect the health and the safety of your kids. So nothing's more important than your relationship with God. And so at the end of the day, no matter what happens, if you have a relationship with God, if you have a relationship that's strong, you've got your water. As a Christian, you're good. You can hide under the shelter of his wings. No matter whether you're hunkered down in a closet at 4 o'clock in the morning when I'm talking to individuals in Florida this morning, and they're hunkered down in a closet because there are tornadoes surrounding their home, they're saying, let's pray. If you're going through a storm of life, sometimes you have to remember this. You know what? I'm going to be okay. Because at the end of the day, nothing's more important than my relationship with God. And so are you prepared for a storm? Are you prepared? Are you pruning? Are you duct taping so it doesn't spread? Are you shuttering up and closing the interior, remembering that he is faithful if you have a relationship with him? And do you remember that at the end of the day, no matter what happens, nothing's more important than my relationship with God? I'd like to do something a little different today. We're going to pray. We're going to pray for Florida. We're going to pray for the Caribbean. But I'm also going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for Christians in this room. Because if your relationship with God is less than a 7, actually less than a 9, you got work to do. If you're not a Christian in this room, what is going to happen to you when the wind and the rain comes crashing? What's going to happen to you when you have nothing to depend on? Do you have your water? Right now, let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, right now, I can't imagine how many individuals in this world right now are crying out to you. I think of the people of Barbuda who just got walloped by 2 hurricanes in the span of a few days. And when I think about individuals who come back to what used to be their neighborhood and it is gone, hopelessness can set in. But God, I know that you are faithful. And I know that you have the power to bring peace. So Father, as a community of believers here in this church and online, currently, right now, we pray for our brothers and sisters in Florida, in the Keys, in the Southwest Coast, on the Southeast Coast, the Northwest Coast. God, right now, I pray that if there is fear, there is anxiety, that you would replace it with your hope and with your promise and your truth. I pray that they would find shelter under your wing, that God, when soon as they begin to fear, that you would remind them that you are faithful, that they can withstand anything because you are there as long as they call out and as long as they have a relationship with you. God, I pray for those in this room and watching online. What are the areas of sin that we're not pruning? What are the areas of sin that we're allowing to spread? What are the areas of sin that right now are about to overtake us? I pray that we would remember it starts with you and our relationship with you. Oh, Father, we just pray your protection today. With all eyes closed and heads bowed, in just a minute, our band is going to play a song, and I want to encourage you in an attitude of prayer that as you hear the words, I want your hearts to be focused on where God wants it to be. That might be your home, that might be your life, that might be Florida, that might be the Caribbean, wherever it is, be in an attitude of prayer, and let's call on him to be our anchor in times of storm. We bless you, Lord, and we love you. And it's in your name that we pray right now. Amen.
Thanks so much for listening to today's podcast. If you would like more information about the ministries at Ocean View, or if you'd like to speak to someone directly, you can visit our website at www.ovbc.org. Thanks again for listening. Have a great day.